It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street in beautiful Athens. It's Wednesday. Normally, we do this on Tuesday, but Jake couldn't make it, so we're going to blame this on Jake.
Yeah.
Actually, I was out of town, and Jake was covering all the announcements in Atlanta. So
Roddy was on vacation, and I was working. That was really what happened.
No, we don't say on vacation. We say I was on the road. Yeah,
sure.
On the because I was driving back from vacation. But you were in Denver. I was here. But no, actually, he was in Atlanta covering the Owen Papo, Kenyatta, Watson, who else?
Wanye Morris and Kevin Harris.
So Jake was working yesterday for the first time. Seriously, Jake was working, so we have to do the show on Wednesday, and we want to thank all of you for tuning in to the 11 Alive Facebook page if you're watching this. If you're listening to it, still swing by Facebook and hit the 11 Alive page. Give them a big thumbs up. Thank you to all our 11 Alive friends. Had a great time last Friday hosting their draft party show, which was fantastic. So look for more stuff from 11 Alive, and big shout-out to them. Big shout-out to Champies. We got a plate coming for you in the middle of the show that you want to see this. So be sure to share this with your friends because you want to see this food come out when it does. It's going to be amazing. I'm not going to jump into all our sponsors right now, but I just want to give them a quick shout-out. Thanks to EuroPie, Athens Ford, Academia Brewing, 365 Game Day, and, of course, Robert Wall out at Cable East and Statham. I want to jump right into the Owen Papo thing.
Sure.
Okay. We were talking about it last week, and I made the point. I thought Auburn was a player.
Uh-huh.
Coach was here in Georgia. We were here in Georgia. I mean, what, 6 weeks ago, Georgia was his leader.
That's right.
But Owen Papo, the number 21 player in the nation, linebacker, the kind of heir apparent, if you will, to Roquan Smith status, you know. Yesterday, you were there. He picked Auburn, as we kind of expect him. As the week progressed after our show last week, we got more and more confirmation that it was going to be Auburn. And we said in the show, hey, it's not over.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how not over is it? The kid committed, says he's been committed for 3 weeks or 3 months, even though...
Well, listen, I told everybody...
Let's talk about Owen Papo.
We talked about this last week on the show, and I told you to be careful with this kid because he's a very savvy media figure. He's a guy who knows how to work it, but he also kind of, you know, showed his hand a little bit by saying, oh, yeah, I've been committed for 3 months. Well, he also said, like you said, 6 weeks ago, Georgia was his leader. So how much can you believe of what he's putting out there? You obviously have to take guys at their word. I'm certainly not calling Owen a liar. What I'm saying is he's a guy who knows how to make the media work for him. He knows how to generate the hype. He knows how to get the confusion out
there. Had 4 years of practice.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, I don't think that it's very over at all. I think that he's going to take his official visits. I think Georgia's going to get, if not an official visit, I think they'll get multiple visits between now and signing day. He's going to have a chance to see at least Georgia, probably other places too. And it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's very close to being over, really. I think that he sounded a little bit more solid yesterday than I think I maybe would have expected. But it's right after the commitment.
But again, he's saying the right thing.
Exactly.
You're not going to say,
yes.
Yeah, well, I'm mostly committed even after you've done it on television. You know, you've had the big announcement. You're not going to be like, yeah, I'm kind of mostly committed. Again, he's going to say the right things.
Unless you're Roquan.
You know, but it's hard to make a definitive thing there and say that you're 100% committed if you're not. So the fact that doors open, if you just look at our MO last year with Cox, with Adamson, with Reese, all those guys.
Justin Fields.
It's going to be a big situation. And listen to the backstory talking about, you know, that's something we're going to have to really go hard against is that everybody's going to use this negativity on us about the players we got. And, you know, playing early is a big thing for him, and he's looking at these guys we got coming in and all that. But I think the proof's in the pudding as far as the season, how Auburn plays, how we play. Just like last year, we were very – if we'd had this show last May the 2nd, everybody would be in here stacked up like club sandwiches and want to know what was wrong with our our recruiting.
You're right.
We were ranked way low. That's what we were saying last year.
So, I think certainly it's a concern to lose a player like that at this point, especially with what he brings to the table and what our needs are. But I think devil's advocate, I think the real key is how does Auburn play last year. You know, they lost their last two games. They got a terrible opener playing one of the best teams in the country in Washington. And then all of a sudden you go on a three-game losing streak going into your second game of the season. Let's see what happens. As compared to us last year, everybody's using, hey, can Georgia win? Kirby Smart's a good coach and all that. Well, once he proved he could win, then the bandwagon opened up for us. So I think that's the whole key to me is how does Auburn play next year? Who plays for us early of these new guys? Can, the kid from South Carolina, Channing, can he come in? Who's going to play there? And we'll see what happens. But usually speaking, a guy of that magnitude isn't that concerned about who you got. Look at Fields. Look at Fromm coming with Eason. Look at all these guys.
They're running backs.
They don't worry about that. And I think that's just something he had to say. But you know what? From my standpoint, like I always said in recruiting, hey, we got other fish to fry. Let's talk about something else. This guy's going to Auburn right now. Well, he'll be on Gus Malzahn's show.
Somebody
needs to
Jason.
Tell Malzahn who he is, too. I mean, does he know he you know, he was talking about that assistant coach more than he did anything.
Sure. But now I will say, T. Will is a guy who has earned a lot of respect with these recruits. Guys love him. They think he's a wonderful coach. It's a situation with Auburn where I totally agree with you. I think that it's going to have to come down to how they play next year. I think that's more important than everybody's admitting. Now, don't get me wrong. Auburn's off to a very strong start. One of their stronger starts, I think, in some time when it comes to recruiting. They've come out of the gate very strongly. But I don't think that it's a situation where, guys aren't going to keep things open just because, you make an announcement. And somebody said on here, Matt Todman said he's going to try and recruit for Auburn. Seems solid to me. Everybody's trying to recruit for the team they're committed to.
Let's go back to Isaac Nauta. When he was committed to Florida State, that guy was probably one of their biggest cheerleaders and then wound up they had like three or four arrests in a row that summer.
Yes.
He's like, no, I'm not good here. And then he left and, recruiting for Georgia. Yeah, you're going to recruit guys to come to your school. And, Cade Mays was recruiting guys to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Adam Madison was recruiting guys to LSU.
It doesn't matter that much. I think that part, the coaches are the difference makers there. You know, it makes a difference if there's a lot of guys like that came to Georgia last year and there's one or two left and they see that. And then, a guy like at the end, Reese, those guys jumped on. That last day we had was unbelievable, all the guys that flipped, So, but that just gives you something to talk about all summer. Now our kids are working hard and going through exams. Coaches on the road, a lot of things going on. And the one thing that's a little bit different now, do we need to go keep talking about him, or should I?
No, you mentioned, and one of the questions we got from Jason was, who does Georgia go look for in his place? And I think that everyone is glossing over what happened last Friday. You got a kid by the name of Tresman Marshall, who
good
is
player.
A freak athlete. And, you guys know I hate that term.
Freak.
I don't like throwing that around. I don't use it very often. It's overused.
Mostly for carnies, right?
That's exactly. And the bearded ladies, guys in too tight shirts,
You get somebody's attention if you say a guy's a freak, though.
Yeah, and it's true. But this is a guy who
– Champ Bailey, freak.
Exactly. Look at
– Roquan Smith, freak.
Absolutely. Here's a guy who was averaging 10 yards a carry as a running back. And they wouldn't let him play defense because he had a shoulder injury until they got to their grudge game. And I think it was the Battle of the Swamp or something like that. Sorry, folks down there in Clinch County if I have the name wrong. But then they're like – and he was going to surprise the other team by showing up and playing linebacker, and he was killing it. This is a guy you can put at linebacker. You can put at running back. I mean, he is a true athlete. He's strong as an ox. Is he in the shot put finals?
He is, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Again, you guys know I love that as a criteria because it shows explosiveness. And I think people are overlooking Tresman Marshall because – and this was a guy that Alabama wanted, Auburn wanted, Florida. Everybody wants this kid. South Georgia guys. That was a huge pickup. So,
exactly.
Yes, missing on Papo hurts.
Look at our class.
But don't,
I mean, come on.
Don't
we got 10
pass
now?
On Trezman Marshall. I guarantee you that kid is going to be a baller.
I would say
and I very seldom do that. I don't guarantee anybody, but that kid had that it factor when I was down there talking to him. I thought this kid's special.
That's good, but I would say this. Anybody is out there worried about Kirby Smart and recruiting needs to go sell used cars or something. I like used car salesmen. Don't get me wrong. That's a good job, but, I mean, come on. Hey, we'll be okay.
No, I agree. And I think that Jason asked the question, who will Georgia go after if Papo stays with Auburn? Really, I think they may be content to just roll with the two guys that they've got, because they've got – you got J.D. Bertrand, who's a great hitter, a good striker.
Right.
And you've got Trezman Marshall now. So, you know, how much more depth do you want to add? Maybe one more guy. I think I've made the statement before that I think Jamie Pettway is a guy that they could look at. He may end up being a slash guy, an outside guy. But we'll see on him. I'm not totally sure.
Well, we got Tindall coming in, and, you know, that's going to be huge. I'm telling you now, I had a conversation with him over there the day he was over there during spring practice. Very impressive young man, way more mature than most freshmen, the way he handled himself. I just feel like he's got that innate. Now, I'd be surprised if I'm wrong here. I think he's got really good leadership skills. I watched the way he walked around practice, and he really just didn't stay around the linebackers. He went and watched the backs. I mean, he's a very perceptive kid.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And somebody said also talking about N'Kobe Dean, a guy out of the state of Mississippi, Rivals 100 guy. I think that he's probably leaning more toward Alabama, or if not, I don't know that he gets out of the state of Mississippi. I think that it's a possibility you see him maybe jump on with Miss State or something like that. But N'Kobe is a guy that Georgia is going to keep in touch with. I just don't know that that's going to be their best
chance. Alabama and Auburn both have jumped out with early commitments for sure. I mean, you look at a lot of these guys, I know I text you and ask you what our situation. Most of their guys have been in-state players, though, right? I mean, for Alabama at this point, they've got a really good high percentage.
Absolutely.
Of in-state guys already committed to them. That, what's his name, Kite?
Oh, yeah, Omari Kite, yes, the offensive tackle who just committed to him. That one hurt, I think, for Georgia. He was a guy who I thought Georgia had a pretty good shot with. He did not seem like he was that close to a commitment when we spoke to him at Rivals Camp, 2-3 weeks ago. For him to go ahead and pull the trigger, you know, he said Georgia wants to take 2 to 3 tackles in this class. I just don't know where they're going to find them, because those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah, but they got a pretty good 2020 tackle.
Well,
and we got some good guys out of state we're looking at too. But I can just envision the day after spring, after signing date, Nick had a meeting with those guys, and it was pretty much that, hey, we're not going to finish 7th again.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So he said, hey, you know, if you don't think we're not going to do better, you need to get with it or something like that, or a little bit stronger.
To your point about maybe Georgia just sticks with the inside linebackers that has Allen, I think that's Verbonic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Allen, if I get it incorrectly, makes a great point. Georgia needs defensive tackles. And I'm just saying that if we're going to stick with just two inside linebackers, great.
You got a great pair.
So long as you pick up those defensive tackles
that's right.
I need.
That's right.
Again, I know just like they're combing the woods trying to find, you know, the best safeties, the best cornerbacks, the best quarterbacks and all that. The search for defensive tackles across the nation this year is insane. Everybody needs
the same thing with everybody. Every program is looking for
and it's thin this year.
Yeah, I mean, it always is. I mean, it's hard to find guys that can come off the ball and move on in the role you got to have them in this league. It's very difficult. And everybody that we're after, somebody else is after them just as hard. So,
yes.
We've lost some high-end battles with some good players. I mean, you look at the ones that we've lost on, and it's going to turn around, hopefully, and that'll make a lot of difference, because early on we needed to get going with our offensive line, and, you know, everybody talked about that a couple years ago. Look where we are now. So maybe that's going to be the same scenario with defense.
I will say and I know you know this, I don't have to tell you, that, you know, those offensive linemen, you can kind of flex them around to some positions. to find those big guys in the middle on the defensive side, they are few and far between. And it is, and like you said, everybody in, on earth is in on them. If you, you can pretty much, if you're a 6 foot five defensive tackle with some speed, some ability to get off the ball, you can pretty much name where you want to go to college.
When's the last time you saw a dinosaur?
That's right, exactly.
Isn't that right? I mean, maybe Roddy did down at Universal when he was down there.
I did. Jurassic Park ride.
That was good. You go on those slow rides, man.
I call the – there's the bench ride. There's the concession stand ride.
That lazy
the
river.
Nap ride.
Lazy River was set up for
There's a hold all my stuff ride while I go get on the roller coaster. I'm good at that one, too.
Well, that's the way to do it. So let's see what other questions we got here.
Let's see. We've got a few rolling in here about recruiting. People want to talk about it. So,
that's good. Take over, bro. Yeah. How about Seth Curry last night? Come on.
I didn't even watch the game last night.
Been out for 5 weeks. First rattle out of the box, come out and shoots a three, bottom. Got 28.
This guy.
And LeBron took him to the house up there in Toronto, too. I mean, you know, Toronto's 3 for 15 in the last 5 minutes. You're not going to win much on that. I mean, it's bad when you got to do research on the NBA to get the show going here.
Jason Rayburn says, what was the deal with Wanya Morris? UGA not interested. I really don't think that was the case. I just think that it became very clear early on that Georgia was not going to be a player, and so they decided not to put their eggs in that basket. You know, he was a guy who kind of from the offset was committed to Florida State at one time, as was Kenyatta Watson, as was True Thompson last year, who ended up signing with him. You know, they had a number of guys from Grayson who went ahead and made that move. I think
There's two of them similar names, Watson and Morris. So
Wanya Morris is the number 19 player in America. He is a 4-star, almost 5-star offensive tackle.
Is that what the question was about?
Yeah,
Morris?
Yeah, it was about Wanya.
I'm going to answer a little bit of that. I think part of that is who we got here now. I would think the challenge is even more so. You talk about certain positions, but you look at our offensive line right now, and you're looking at a right tackle, a freshman, and a redshirt freshman are the two guys vying for the position. You look at, guys like Salyer and Hill and all those guys. I mean, people are using that against you, whereas Tennessee, hey, they're looking at them saying, look, well, you can come in here right away. We don't have anybody like that. You know, we lost our best lineman to Georgia. He's down there. We would have liked to have the guy, but I think it's more a case of who we got, and he didn't feel like he could come in here and play. That's the way it looks to me.
Welcome to Alabama recruiting.
Exactly.
This is the same thing that we've used against Alabama for years. Tennessee's used it against Alabama. Auburn's used it against them, although Auburn's had some good ones. People are starting to use this against Clemson. Clemson had a small class last year and a lot of
I'm really worried about Clemson's D-line this year, aren't you? Only got three guys ranked in the top 10 in the country.
Right.
Hey, the early draft, they got three guys in the early top 10 playing on their D-line.
Rightfully so.
And those guys came back, and they're phenomenal. We've had them at rivals camps. They are monsters.
What is it, Lawrence and one of them?
Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, and I forget the other guy. It'll come to me, though.
Hey, and –
yeah, well, glad they're not on schedule yet. Of course, might see them in the playoffs.
That's right.
If you get that far.
Anyway, I think with – listen, and Owen said this yesterday, and Wanya said it as well, and I do think it makes sense. A lot of people are quick to pull this, oh, well, they don't want to compete. Oh, they don't want to – they're scared to compete. I think that – and Owen said it. He was like – it's kind of a no-brainer decision for me if I want to play early to go somewhere where they're graduating senior linebackers and I can step on the field immediately. He's right.
Elon. Hey, but I didn't mean that on Owen, but I'm just – maybe he's right there. But I think when I took this stance with Fields last year and with Fromm the year before, the really great players really – that doesn't really – enter into the scenario for him if it's the difference between where they want to go. But listening to this guy talk, he was talking about the two consecutive weeks he went over to visit Auburn when they beat us and then they beat Alabama. That had to be an unbelievable scenario for their recruiting, because I was there for the Auburn game against Georgia, And that crowd was like ours is, you know, and they've been hungry for a long time to get up there. And then you can imagine after losing to – they lost three in a row to us and three in a row to Bama, and two consecutive weeks everybody in the Auburn family get those kind of wins. That's big for recruiting.
Being
no doubt.
Number one team back-to-back weeks, that's huge. And I will say this, people, I know Georgia fans don't want to hear it, but if you go to Auburn and you are in that stadium, that place
it's
is
hype.
A rollicking, crazy thing. The fans
that's
are
a tough
it.
Place to play.
They
it
do
is.
A good
the
job
kids are into it.
Music
the
on
the graphics,
there too.
The music. I mean, it is a hell of an experience. And if you were a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, you're like this. And the same thing happens in Georgia, but the Georgia fans might think, well, if they come and experience the Georgia, you know. No, you're not getting one over on Auburn by hosting a kid here. They have the exact same things. So go to Alabama. The place is insane. You know, so
you just got to do a little bit different with every kid based on what its needs are.
Thank you.
And a lot of it has to do sometimes the atmosphere is all it's just going to be a situation where it's, you know, you don't want it to hurt you because you don't have that game day atmosphere like some schools that are close to here, like 60 miles over from here. I don't know where it is, but some school in Atlanta. But you know, but the point is, your game day atmosphere, it should be a no-brainer. But then the other things, you know, your academics, your weights, your kids. The thing about us right now, I think our kids are doing a tremendous job of selling the fact that Kirby's going to give you a chance to be as good as you can be. His staff can teach you. We can help you get to the league. And he's got to let you play early. He's proven that at Alabama. He's proven it here. So that's going to be a deal. And so maybe Papo was meant – that's a good way to say it. But I don't know who he's basing it on based on the fact we just lost Roquan.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It just – you know, I think the way he's looking at it as, you know, you've got Monty Rice, you've got Jaden Hunter, Nate McBride, all expected to see some time there this year for sure. Then right behind them, you got Channing Tindall, another guy that people are very high on. I'm one of them. And, you know, it's – you normally are playing two, maybe three of those guys.
Who's Auburn have?
And Auburn's graduating two seniors, and I think behind that they've got – they're pretty thin.
I hope they're thin. I hope they're
well,
really
somebody
thin.
And somebody said somebody
they lost Holland. Could you believe he didn't get drafted?
No, I was very surprised by that.
We got a few draft questions coming too.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
Well, you're the draft expert. Got your own show over there on Living Alive.
Jason Rayburn asked
you, that was Paul.
Is your name Todd? Nabelski.
We got Jason Rayburn in here with another question. He says, is there a real issue with Grayson High School when it comes to Georgia?
I knew that was coming.
Or is that just a myth? I'm gonna say that it's there's a little bit of truth to both things. I think that it's not the hotbed for Georgia that it should be. Now, I do think that there's a good reason for that, and I think it's because Grayson has as many resources as anybody in the state. They're traveling out to see as many guys as they can. The coaches are coming by. Every coach in America is coming by that high school. They're getting much more exposure than kids from, I don't know, like Zykevious Walker at Schley County, you know, or a kid even at Mays in Atlanta.
Yeah,
the talent pool's so deep that it's commanding this attention, and so they're getting so much more interaction with these guys over the course of their recruitment that I don't think it works in Georgia's favor. They get exposed to much more.
Think about it as IMG North.
Yeah.
IMG is not exactly a pipeline to any major school because they have so many kids that are available. So, yeah, when you look at it and go, okay, well, you got Justin Young out of there, you know. Well, you know, so you got one. And then you see all the other kids that are not going to Georgia, and you're like, well, you know, why aren't we getting all of them? Well, that's when you have 13 kids going D1 per year.
That's right.
You know, you're not going to get it. But at the same time, you aren't getting what Georgia fans would consider your fair share of those kids.
Are they still getting a lot of transfers in there?
Oh yeah,
absolutely. But I mean, you look at it. You had who have they pursued heavily out of Grayson that they missed on wildly? You got D'Angelo, who you really wanted, regardless of how things play out there. You got him out of Grayson, and he was a long time. He was there for two or three years. Had been at Peachtree Ridge previously. You were right in it until the end with Jamias Williams, who. I don't even really consider necessarily a Grayson kid. He was at Archer forever.
Right.
So
I think in the end, though, I don't know how much we – I don't know if we had room for him.
Sure.
Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But he was a good player, and, you know, they've already moved him to safety, I heard.
What I'm saying is they – it's not like Grayson has been spurning Georgia left and right. I really just don't think that's been the case. Georgia has picked a few battles that they want to go in there and –
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, it was – I'd say a couple – more than that. But 5 years ago, it was Buford. What does Buford have against Georgia? You know? And I think whenever you have a top school that's not sending all its best players there, people think that there's something in the water at the school or there's a coach who's against them. I just don't see that. I just think that you have you're going to get some kids. You're not going to get others. You know, the fact that Georgia pulls a few out of IMG, you know, are the Florida fans scared, you know, ripping IMG for not sending more kids to Florida?
You got to remember, too, here, we're only taking 18 players this year. So it's hard to get, I mean, notwithstanding not getting any of those four, I don't know how many of those we actually, I would say Papo for sure. We're having hard, I think.
You went after one, and you were in the final two with him. And you still may get him. So
I don't know, but.
Thanks, guys.
The whole appreciate you coming, man. So the whole point there is you got to look at the whole pool of where you're going and who you're trying to get, you know. And
again, it's not like you've missed out on a bunch of others. You had the number one class.
But here's the thing that about recruiting now. It's a little bit different in the spring evaluations. You know, I think they get like 170, 168 evals in the spring. Used to be you have nine coaches go out, so you could spread those out pretty evenly. But now with the 10th coach out, then that's cut into what each guy can do as far as how many times he can go to out to different places. So, right. You know, you've got less for your evals to go. And that doesn't have anything to do with Grayson. But the point is our coaches have to really be very – fluid.
Judicious.
Yeah, good word. I said fluid, but judicious is great. You must be watching Fox News. So anyhow, the point is you
got
to be
off.
Careful how you use those. And I think one point that really helped us is in the winter, because we had so many guys locked up, we did a lot of spring recruiting in January and early February because we had these guys already pre-signed, you know, with that early signing date. So our guys got to go a lot of different places, and so did Kirby. Now, you know, that's a bad deal, which I would like to have the rule where the head coach can go out once but to each school, but you can't do that. Head coaches can't do anything in May as far as going on the road, and that hurts.
Hey, before we get to another couple questions here, I want to let you guys know about some deals at our best friends in the whole world, Athens Ford. So on the way down there to Orlando, took a Ford Explorer.
Wow.
Yeah. That is a nice ride.
Really glad you had such a great trip in your Ford Explorer.
I did. Well, I'm just saying my dad's freaking out because he worked almost 30 years at General Motors, and he's like, what are you doing in all these Ford vehicles? And every time I go to his house, I'm in a different
Ford. So you get a courtesy car to go down there, right?
No, I actually rented one because, like I said, I'm thinking about getting the Explorer or the Focus, and I decided to take an Explorer down there, and I was very, very impressed with that. Right now, you can get one for $8,000 off if you go out to Athens Ford, or you can lease one for $399 a month.
Impressive.
For qualified people, 39 months, $399 down. I saw a million of those Ford F-150s. It is the best-selling truck in the world, or at least in the United States. $14,000 off a Ford F-150. Those, you know, and I love that because, you know, I drive a GMC truck, and I'm thinking every time I see one of those Ford F-150s, which is like 500 times a day, I'm like, oh, I won.
Yeah, you're like the sad puppy against the window. Please, well, they're just, please take me.
I mean, real quick, if you have a diesel engine, swing out to Athens Ford. They do have some amazing services out there. They have an oil change special. You get $15 off that, and they have a diesel fuel special. You get $25 off that.
Hey, Josh.
So if you have those a diesel engine, for you know, do yourself a favor and swing out there and get it checked out. The service department out of Athens Ford is unreal, and I mean it's a great service bay. They take care of you. They've won the President's Service Award three times in a row. I mean, President's Choice Award three times in a row for outstanding customer service. And it's the only place you're going to get that lifetime powertrain warranty. So I know whichever vehicle I get out there, I will be getting the lifetime powertrain warranty, even if you want to use one. You get a used vehicle out there. If it's under 80,000 miles, they'll put the lifetime powertrain warranty on it. Who does that on other people's vehicles?
Yeah, right. You know? Absolutely.
So you go out there and buy one of their pre-owned vehicles, and you can still get that deal. That's just stupid. I mean, they're just incredibly generous with what they do. So they're a big sponsor of our show and our website. So
and they're big Georgia fans.
Yeah, you got a Georgia alumni out there. So swing by and check them out. And while I'm talking about one of our sponsors, I'm going to get to your point in a minute, but I'm killing this Academia beer here.
I'm a little ahead of you. as usual.
What time did you start?
I'm drinking their Kolsch. It is amazing beer. This is the perfect holiday beer. K-O with the two little dots over it.
Umlaut.
Umlaut, yeah. K-Umlaut.
Is that German?
L-S-E-A. Yeah, it's a German. It's like the – I won't call it a day beer. It's one – to me, it's one thing you can just sit there and drink all day. Now, you have the IQ IPA.
Yes, absolutely, which is any beer can be a day beer if you start drinking it in the day.
If you're Jake Roos, yes, anything can be.
Well, I mean, how many guys go to Denver for the weekend?
Day, you know? I had to put my trip in, you know?
I'm just saying it's a light beer. Now, I like some of their Noctua, some of their stronger stuff, but, you know, when they have a 13% alcohol beer – that's not an all day beer.
No,
that's a
nighttime. That's
done.
A bed. Yeah, that's a bed beer.
But this Kolsch, you can drink it all day.
13%.
13. Yeah, they made one on Friday the 13th. Recently.
Glass of water and a hammer do the same thing. Golly, yeah. Man.
Real quickly, today, Wednesday, May 2nd, if you go to 5 Bar downtown, they have a tap takeover that the Academia folks are doing. They're going to have their Noctua Imperial Stout, one of my absolute favorites. The Hoppridite, which, again, you guys know the flack I took about saying that was as good, if not better, than Tropicalia. Tropicalia is great, but I love Hoppridite. They also have the Dom Kolsch. That's how I know to spell it.
There you go.
Have the Dom. And Wise Owl Wheat, Hefeweizen. So swing down there. In other words, if you go by 5 Bar, the Academia people are coming in, taking over all their taps, putting their beer on it. You need to try it.
Got good food there, too.
Kirby takes recruits
there all the time. So if you want to see what the fuss is about, swing
take
by
some
5.
Here, too.
Get the Uptown Shrimp.
Well, these guys here at Champions, they cater.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
UGA all the time. The players are like, when can we get Champions again? And I get it. So,
exactly.
Also, if on Saturday, it's Cinco de Mayo and the Kentucky Derby Day. So if you want to swing out to Academia, because we talk about their food all the time, Chef Nate's going to have some taco specials on. So
I like it.
Yeah. Friday's actually graduation day. So if you go out to Academia, come to the brew pub in your cap and gown, you can enjoy a free brewer's
goodness
choice
gracious.
Ooh, what do we got there?
Well, that is
we got some mac
speaking
and
of
cheese.
Speaking of great I guess specials, great things going on here at Champions. Wednesday night, starting at 5, they're going to be doing a soul food special. That's a 2-piece white plate, fried okra, mac and cheese, collard greens, and a piece of jalapeno cornbread. Plus, come in here, get the 40-ounce with it, knock it down. You're gonna sleep like an angel.
Go to town, coach.
Make sure to get out here and check that out. I can't wait until we get out of here so I can eat that.
That is serious groceries there right now.
A couple questions rolling in here. I do want to touch on real quick. Matt Todman says, any update on Jalen Humphreys, defensive tackle out of Mountain View High School, 2019 guy? I think Georgia's going to be the team to beat there for sure. Alabama just came in. He's got a lot of great options, but Jalen, a must get, I think, for Georgia. An in-state guy, grew up a fan of the Bulldogs, and can totally play that nose tackle for you.
ETA on his
decision. How big is he?
No ETA on that. He is about 6'4", 320, 330, something like that.
Get him two of these plates.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my good friend Eric Beach says, a lot of damn good dogs up in New England. Might have to start pulling for the Patriots. Go Dogs.
Yeah,
quite a draft for the Bulldogs last week.
Yeah, we talked about this Friday as it went down. You know, we saw Thursday night the three guys go in the first round of the draft, which I thought was huge. And I thought, to me, my biggest takeaway was you get Bill Belichick – you know, one of the most respected coaches in the nation, if not the, you know, in the NFL, with one of the most respected teams, one of the biggest winningest teams. And he comes down to Georgia. He actually works some of these guys out, and he takes Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, if there was ever a endorsement of those two guys.
Plus, he took John Atkins, too, right?
Yeah, they signed John.
Big John. So, as an undrafted free agent. I love the fact that the Bill Belichick, to me, his MO is I'm going to take a guy with a chip on his shoulder. I'm going to take a Malcolm Mitchell who's been injured a lot. I'm going to take a David Andrews who, you know, was an undrafted free agent. I'm going to take a guy who wants to prove something. Sony was always, you know, the number two running back.
Isaiah Wynn, he's too small for everything.
Well, he's too small.
Left tackle.
Well, he's too small
guard.
To play in the SEC.
That's
then
right.
He's too small to play tackle. Then he's too small to play in the NFL. And he goes in the first round. So, that's not even getting into Roquan going as early as he did, which I thought was fantastic, you know. But I love the fact that those two guys get to, you know, roommates get to play together on the same team with a bunch of other dogs. And for a coach who knows how – who will get every last ounce of talent out of those guys, they have the best chance of being successful. And I just thought – and then, what is it, four picks after Sony, Nick Chubb goes.
Yeah.
If you had to write the Hollywood ending – for these two guys, they get drafted for, you know, roommates, guys that went back and forth, best friends. They get drafted four spots apart. I think I hate the fact that
– little, you know, different situations.
They got to think, though, Cleveland's built up their roster, though.
They have.
The offense was a lot better.
Yes. And they've done a good job getting some free agents. And I think John Dorsey's going to be a big help to them. You know, he's got a good background, having been involved with the Packers. And, you know, he knows how to scout. He's been with the Chiefs. And we'll see what happens. But the thing about Belichick, too, is, you know, he had such a tight relationship with Nick because of they coached together at Cleveland. And hard to believe that those two guys were coaching at Cleveland and didn't win like they wanted them to. But, you know, they got close, but they won 1 year. But the fact that he interacted with Kirby so much when he would come down there, and then Kirby has a good relationship, goes up to New England to study their defense. So, word of mouth. It's just like me texting you and asking you about players. You know so much more about them. You study them. I don't do that like I used to. But, you know, when you can get Kirby Smart to give his okay to Bill Belichick, that means a lot to him, you know. And I'm sure it does with a lot of coaches around the country as far as that relationship you built up. Same way with me talking to a high school coach when I was recruiting him. But I think that's going to really help our going forward, help a lot of these guys because they know they're going to get trained to play on the pro level. You know, Sam Pittman is a really good offensive line, a great offensive line coach. I mean, Chaney has put these guys in a lot of positions where they're doing a lot of pro stuff, blitz pickup, running routes out of the backfield that are very similar to what they use in the pros. And you can see these guys do things like that. I know when they took Patrick Pass, that's one thing they liked about what he did. You know, he could catch a ball out of backfield. He's good on special team. He's tremendous up there returning kickoffs and stuff. So,
I was just thrilled to see Sony Michel go in the first round. I mean, I just thought that was a fitting tribute to his potential
exactly.
In the NFL. We started saying 2 years ago that I thought he might be drafted higher than Nick Chubb, you know, especially after the injury. Sony is a tireless worker. You know, it's always Nick and Sony, and that's not to say anything against Nick. I just thought that I was glad to see Sony, you know, on that stage get all the credit he's due. And, again, Nick to go right behind him. You know, it wasn't the first round, but it was, what, three, four picks into the second round. Still, you know, I think it's maybe a $500,000 difference in what they're going to get paid.
Well, four guys in the first 34.
That's phenomenal.
Yes.
And you get six guys making $59 million, you know, and $27 million in instant guarantees, you know, signing bonuses.
I thought it was interesting that the Kirby Smart chose to point that out right after the Owen Papo commitment. The highest drafted inside linebacker came from Georgia, and also our combined players made $54 million. Just saying. That's how he dropped that one. He was
Kirby
like, I'm just going to leave this one here. Yeah, he tweeted that out.
Good one.
Yeah.
and we knew that graphic was coming because the UGA department over there, they do great graphics on stuff like that, you know, good recruiting tactics. And to show that, hey, we had six guys drafted, you know, especially after the year before when you only had one and it was because a kid had to leave early.
Right.
You know, Isaiah McKenzie because he failed out of school or so the story goes.
How about that thing where it showed that 29 out of 32 players drafted were dual sport athletes in high school?
I think that's as everyone's having to get to that. I mean,
you like the fact that a guy can compete for sure, but being on separate teams sometimes helps you learn how to accept adversity, how to be around different kind of people, which that's the whole deal. When you go to a pro franchise, except these guys are going to know Andrews and Mitchell. But you're basically going in with a lot of different kind of personalities that you hadn't been around. How are you going to adjust to that?
No doubt.
Well, I think if you're playing multiple sports, I think it helps you in developing different muscles, different skill sets, different, like I said, team dynamics. But I think you know, when you're developing that stuff, you learn different lessons playing basketball than you do football. Running track, wrestling. If you're wrestling, it's one-on-one. You know, if you can't take a second off, there's no one who can pick you up behind you. There's no one who can cover for your mistakes. Track, you know, it's you versus the guys next to you, unless you're running a, you know, 4x100, sure. In which case you better learn to work in rhythm because you're not going to be able to pass that baton in time, you know. The guys that are playing basketball, you know, you have to think a couple steps ahead. You know, football, you got to play. Well, this one, you got the basketball, you got to play. But you're also having to adjust so much quicker, you know, in my opinion, when it comes to, you know, moving up and down the court fast. And then it's just the being in those competitive environments. You can play on a football team that's phenomenal and you win most of your games. You play for state titles. Then you go over and you're the number two on basketball and your team goes, like, you know, 0-14.
Sure.
You know, so I just think that playing multiple sports does that. I told my son, you know, look, you're going to get more out of running track and not being any good at it than you would when your team went undefeated in football.
Absolutely.
You know? And then, of course, his stupid track team actually did really, really well. And he wound up doing
– What was he running?
He was doing high jump and running the 4x4, 200, and 4x1.
That's cool.
Shout out to Colin Hall, local kid here who I've coached. Just won the state title in pole vault for middle school.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A little kid over at Athens Christian School.
Good job.
Great kid. Great little football player. I say little. He's taller than me. Great football player, which doesn't mean much. But so we need to get Kairos and the guys over at the Georgia track team to swing by.
Yeah. Get on that early.
Hey, I think he's like number one or number two in the nation when it comes to pole vault. So the kid's got it.
DeMayer checking in. He's from South Korea. This morning.
Really?
So, yeah.
Shout out to the mayor.
Good job.
Yeah, man. Love that. Love to see that. I did want to touch on a guy who it's been a recruiting heavy show, but I want to, obviously, that's my wheelhouse. That's what
Absolutely.
I love.
It's that time of year.
Broderick
You're
Jones.
The man.
Broderick Jones, 2020 yes. commit for the University of Georgia. Coach, have you seen this guy?
Yeah. I mean, you should.
We talked about him on the show last week.
Yeah.
Raving about that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Roddy, just kind of, you had a chance to see him in person. What were some of your takeaways?
I think when we went to the Under Armour camp, was it last weekend?
Yes, it was.
Recently. It's all sort of run together.
It wasn't last weekend. You were playing out of Universal.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, within the last 10 days, Trent Smallwood and I went down. And
what'd you rent to go over there? Oh, go ahead. What car?
Learjet.
No.
Tell us about him, though.
I took my
seriously,
I
though, my is this something truck. You were talking about a 2020 recruit and
this
everybody's
is a 2020
fired?
But here's
but
a
kid. He's a fireball, too.
He's 6'6", 300 pounds. Doesn't seem to have any bad weight. He is a 2020 guy. I didn't really know him that well. I mean, I knew the name. And when I spoke to him after he went through the camp, and in that camp, he went up against King
Niwakuta.
An Alabama 2019 commit. And by his count, they faced off four times. And
3-1.
He said he went 3-1 against King. Now, two of them I saw, and I give him credit for it. But I actually shot some video of this kid. He reminded me of Andrew Thomas. Great footwork, great hands, great punch, especially for a 2020 kid. I mean, this kid's a sophomore, and he's going up against, you know, juniors, guys older than him, and was playing lights out. He said it was Alabama and Georgia.
How many we got committed in that class with him?
Two. He became the second one. So Nazir Stackhouse, the four-star defensive tackle out of Stevenson High School, a guy that Georgia definitely going to need. You can, as we said at the earlier, you can always use those big DTs. And then a big offensive tackle. That's a great
start. What – it was between what now? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it was between Alabama and Georgia is what he said. And then a few days later, he came down and said, I've been committed to Georgia for a while. So I'm like, oh, okay, good to know.
Yeah.
But he said it was Georgia
just
and Alabama.
It's incredible to me. How can these guys commit so early and not have official
again,
visit and all that
and
stuff?
Again, it does. I mean,
that's this, awesome. I'm glad he's made the decision.
He is going to be – everybody in the country is going to go after this kid because he has the – prototypical size, already. He doesn't even want to get much bigger. He's like, I'm 6'6 already. I don't want to put
on
any
weight. He said, I like how I move.
Yeah.
I like
and
that.
I loved how he moved. The kid looked great. Great footwork for someone that young. Granted, I mean, it's sophomore footwork, you know?
Absolutely.
But this is –
probably just turned 16, maybe.
He is 16. And I thought that this kid was one of the best competitors at the entire camp. And sure enough, a few days later, he's committed to Georgia. So, huge pickup
awesome.
For Georgia.
Awesome.
Again, 2 years to go. That is a long way away. But, you know, you've kind of, I don't want to say you've hit that first hurdle, but you know that you're in a good spot for him. The coaches are going to pour love onto this kid. The coaches are going to be ripped nonstop because, as Rodney Garner told me years ago, everybody goes along with recruiting a kid. You know, everyone's getting along fine until he commits. That's when the gloves come off, and that's when you start tearing down the school he's committed to. So he's going to have 2 years of everybody bashing Georgia. But if he sees what I think is going to happen in this draft and the following draft, you know, when it comes to Georgia's offensive linemen.
What do you mean, like when Andrew Thomas goes in that first round, probably?
I'm just saying, you know, that's going to help. It's not to say that, you know, kids only focus on the draft, but what Georgia's doing on the offensive line right now is freakish. I see you down there. Killing
just
that
one.
Soul food.
Charles Kaiser says big
good for my soul.
big silly Broderick Jones played 2 quarters at tight end on JV and then flipped over and played 4 quarters offensive line varsity last year.
I like that.
That's nasty.
No, that's your two sport athlete.
You should not be allowed to put that kid in to play JV tight end. I do not. That's not fair at all.
Well, you throw it. You just put his hands up here. You just throw it up to him. You know.
I just hand it off and let him run.
We were playing a JV game when I was in the ninth grade in Burlington, playing one of these county schools. And we were just kicking their butts. Play on Thursday, you know, because some guys could play on Friday. And halftime, their varsity had just finished practicing for, the game for the next night. And we noticed in the second half, their team started getting a lot bigger out there in the second half. They started working these guys in. They weren't worried about any rules. They didn't want to lose those city slickers. So they had these big old guys.
Brought the
there.
Ringers in.
Man, it was unbelievable.
Broderick, I think, like I said, great pickup for Georgia, especially in that 2020 class. Tom Gross with an interesting question. He says, why was Andrew Thomas a 4-star out of high school?
Instead of 5?
Yes. Now, Andrew was, if I'm not mistaken, right around 80 in the class that year. I argued that he should be higher after the performance at the Army All-American game. Nobody listens to me, but that's okay. No, they do. And you know, I think that he was a guy who – he was a gradual climber throughout his whole recruitment. You know, you saw him continually climb up the rankings. So for him to make it to 80, even where he started off was – I don't want to say it was an accomplishment, but it was it was a good landing spot for him. Obviously, you know, we've come out on Rivals several times since and said, you know, we missed on that and we should have ranked him higher.
Hey, well, who
top
cares?
100. I mean, that's –
4
that's,
and 5s, I mean, come on. But that's going to be interesting to see some of these guys that you see their ratings and they don't pan out and some of them aren't rated as high.
Well, speaking of not panning out, let's look at the fact that Georgia had a – we had him as a 4-star. Some people had him as a 5-star. Trent Thompson leaves early for the NFL.
Well, he was rated as probably the number one player in the country by some people. But yeah. I hate that for Trent because I think he's got a lot of potential.
Absolutely.
And he's going to get a good shot up there with them. And what about you guys with these Under Armour game and Army? Is there one game you try to promote more with through Rivals? Or
no,
you,
we cover both.
I noticed, though, when all of them started getting drafted, one was going over the other. Hey, we get more guys drafted that played in our game and all that. But
the marketing.
Is there any kind of – as a fan right here, is there either one of the games where they're considered a higher – level of players go to?
No, I don't think so. Not really. It's been very equitable over the course of especially the last 5 to 10 years.
Well, I'd like to point out with, you know, Andrew Thomas, if you name a kid in the top 100 players in the nation, you know, out of 3 million high school football players, that's pretty much nailing, you know, a talented football player. Same with the top 250, same with the top 300. If you name a kid's a 4-star and he winds up going to a school and starting, then you were right. So that's I mean, I don't say, well,
hard to start as a freshman offensive line.
Absolutely. So, you know,
how many would you say in a Power Five top 20 teams had true freshmen starting? I wouldn't say many.
No, not at all.
Count them on one hand. But when it comes to those games, if you're looking at the Army game or the Under Armour game, you know, and even when you had, what was the Marine game, the Semper,
The Blue Gray Semper Fi game.
Those, you know, the Army game and the Under Armour game are the two biggest ones. We do have kind of a tie-in to the Army game simply because a lot of Georgia kids go there, but mainly because Adidas sponsors our camps, and Adidas is the one that, you know, is one of the major sponsors of the Army game. So
give you any kickback like they do these basketball guys?
No, not us.
I didn't know if you were
running or what. No, at the Rivals camps, we do. You know, when they come to the Rivals camps, we get some nice shirts and we get some gear.
No cash.
Not yet.
It's going to be interesting to see it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this basketball.
But when you got 100 kids, you know, say in the top 100 kids, you can't take 75 of them and hope to play them all. So I think both rosters are close to, what, maybe 50 kids? And, you know, you come up with a first team and a second team, and you try to work them all in. In other words, it would be impossible for one team or one game to get all the top kids. So,
and it's a lot like
we're the only ones that do it. We cover both camps.
I mean, it's a lot like Senior Bowl too, and the fact that the practices show you a lot more about what these guys can do.
That's what we cover.
Game.
Actually, there have been
and y'all do a great job of covering that. That's what I wanted to say.
We cover the practices and then leave half the time. I mean, a lot of times we're not there for the game itself. The game's going to be on television, but we're there to get the updates with the kids and their recruitments, find out where they're going, find out what we can about them. And, you know, watch them in practice up against other top players.
Exactly.
You know? Because, you know, and that, again, with Andrew Thomas, his trajectory was going up and up and up and up. And then we got to the Army All-American game, it was still going up. I think if there had been, like, maybe one more camp after that, he might have jumped way high. But
makes you want to eat a piece of this cornbread right now? They say Salyer's better than him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that, but, I mean, come on. If he is, come on.
And that again, swing by Wednesdays after 5 o'clock and get the soul food platter here at Champions.
I will give you a review.
I'm smelling it. It is killing me. So we have to wrap this show up quick.
There's not even enough room in there for that chicken to breathe and all that stuff on top of it.
We will be wrapping up here in just a moment. I did want to hit on two quick questions. Jason Rayburn asked, what QB target does Georgia have the best shot at in the 2019 class? That's really an interesting question, because I'm not sure that we know or really have a good handle on it. A couple of guys to be watching, I would say Jaden Johnson, the Louisville commit that we did a story with a few weeks back. I had a story on Monday with Joey Yellen, I'm sorry, out of Mission Viejo, California. Picked up his offer recently, received a visit from James Coley, was out here for G-Day, really liked what he saw. And the other guy is Jacob Zeno, who Jim Chaney just got out to see at John Jay High School in San Antonio. Those are the three guys that I'm watching the closest right now.
Yeah, Along with Stetson Bennett.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, keep an eye on this kid out at Central Gwinnett.
Yeah, Fombie.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Fombie, I believe.
Just got an offer from Missouri.
Yeah.
Brand new to the scene. Not saying that, you know, I don't know if Georgia – I know Georgia's going to go out to see him. That's a question Jeff Purcell brought up. Is this the dead period for recruiting? If so, when does it end? No, it's not the dead period. The coaches are actually out on the roads looking at guys. I think they're going to go see this Fombi kid at Central Gwinnett. Remember at Central Gwinnett, that was where Jaron Williams was last year.
Where did he end up? He's committed to Kentucky, and then where did he end up going?
He went to Miami, did he?
Yeah, I think Miami.
Yes, yeah, that's
what about
right
that kid over there in Gwinnett that was committed to A&M and hurt his knee, and then where did he go? Quarterback.
The quarterback, Cade Fortin. That's a good question. I'm not really sure where Cade ended up.
Good player.
He was at a 7-on-7, the Gwinnett versus Georgia 7-on-7, and Trent was selling to watch his kid, and I was like, he's kind of big and lanky, and then he started playing, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. And he's like, that's why he's a Texas A&M commit. So he was pretty
UNC.
Good.
Going to Chapel Hill High?
Chapel Hill, yeah, that's right. Another question we got was, which receivers is Georgia going after to complement the two we already have in 2019? I think that they're probably going to, if they take another receiver, it'll be maybe one more big-bodied guy. That's kind of what I'm expecting. You know, I think that's what they'd like to do. They seem to be moving in that direction with every pick.
How about those two? Just remind anybody that's been on planet, a different planet. Tell them about the two we got.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jaden Hazelwood, who I think, and I will take all the flack if this does not happen, but I think he's got a shot to be the best at Georgia since AJ Green. I think he's a special high school player.
I think he
might
move up in the Georgia, in the rivals rankings. This is a kid who is worthy.
Well, he was one overall. He was the first number one overall receiver. He's still a five star. And I think he can retake that number one overall.
That's what I'm saying. I think, well, not only that, I think this is a kid who, like I say, overall, I think that he has that potential. If we can get him out to the rivals camp, and then when he kills it, and he'll go to the opening and blow that up. And this is a kid who's going to be phenomenal. But it's so easy to only talk about Jaden Hazelwood and forget about Dominic Blaylock.
That's right. No, don't forget about him.
In any other year, everybody is – it's the same with when it comes to Cook and
Zamir.
We'll love to talk about Zamir White, and we kind of forget. You also have this five-star James Cook committed. Well, you have a situation where Dominic Blaylock, and that kid is lights out. He was one of the best receivers I saw as an eighth grader.
Yeah.
I know people don't – I don't want to hear about your eighth graders, and why are we talking about 2020 guys?
Hey.
Well, we were talking about Dominic Blaylock before he stepped foot in high school. We were talking about, Owen Papo before he stepped into high school. We were talking about Robert Kimdichie before he stepped foot in high school. There are some guys who are just
– it's that clear.
It's that obvious. You see him out there. There are certain guys you're just like, okay,
that's
we need
great.
To keep an eye on him. And Dominic Blaylock is one of them. These two right now seem incredibly solid to Georgia. Maybe come back and eat those words later on. But
no.
If you get those two, you'd love to have a third. But, again, if you just with the Papo thing, if you're only going to take two inside linebackers and two wide receivers, if you want to take that third spot at both position and I don't say experiment with it, but give it to a project at defensive tackle, I got no problems with that, because if that guy works out, that's a huge area of need.
And we got a defensive tackle grad transfer that you guys brought out last week too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hayes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jay Hayes, absolutely.
So you got it was a big week last week because you with the draft, you had two commits, a graduate transfer. And this is the off season.
A lot of info coming around here.
Yeah.
Chuck, any other tough questions?
Our good buddy Chuck Ward makes a good point. We'll wrap up on this one. He says Sony Michel led Broward County in rushing as an eighth grader.
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, again, and that's what when the guys talk about.
That's an impressive stat.
Yeah,
I mean, he could play on a high school team in eighth grade.
Yeah,
at Broward County, that place is loaded. So when you have a situation where everyone knew Sony Michel's name before he stepped foot on the high school field. They're like, this kid's lights out. I think he was playing wasn't he playing JV or something? He's playing up. So, yeah.
That's great. So, have you ever seen Sproles' Pee Wee football?
Darren Sproles?
Yeah.
I have not.
He's 43 in that one. That show, maybe get it on YouTube, but I watched it the other day. I mean, he was making the same moves he's making now in the NFL, but it was incredible. He was smaller than all the kids in Pee Wee.
Dylan Moses,
yeah.
That guy's tape of his eighth grade thing went viral. He's knocking kids around, and people are like, who's this guy? And, it actually was on Good Morning America and stuff like that, showing him just knocking it down.
Everybody's got to accept as a parent, as a coach, and all that. Usually these guys either got it or you don't, and it's not the kid's fault if he doesn't have it, but – you're just not too many miracles.
You're
either going to be a player or you're not, and you just got to accept it and go for it, man. I'm telling you. But these guys, it pretty early.
Well, when you saw Clay Webb, Jamari Sawyer, guys like that as ninth graders were like, okay. Yeah.
write that name down and don't forget that guy.
Exactly. So, again, that's why we cover the class of 2020, class of 2021. There are players out there that Georgia's going to be after, and they're going to be after them for 4 years. So I know some people only want to hear about 2019, but it's no longer recruit one class at a time. You have to recruit three or four classes concurrently.
And I'll tell you what, it will be here before you know it. I remember meeting Owen Papo as an eighth grader, and I was like, oh, you're the kid everybody's been talking about. Yesterday, I attended his commitment ceremony. Can't believe it was already here. It's been a long time coming.
Is that your master's?
It is.
You got your own master's wallet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, somebody took him.
yes, and he's never taken me back. I wonder
gear,
what I did.
Gear.
Shout out also to Your Pie, one of our great sponsors. Swing by there. One of the best pizzas you'll get anywhere, period.
The best pizza you'll get.
They've got, what is it, the Southern Heat?
The Southern Heat is phenomenal.
Awesome.
Right now, they have their peach prosciutto pie. They have it's their special pie they had last year. It was very well received, and they've relaunched it for May. So swing by, pick up that peach pie. It's phenomenal. And if you really want a fun, delicious sandwich, swing by Your Pie and grab one of their sandwiches out there. Again, I love that Nonno. Nonno's Italian. That is a phenomenal sandwich. And their gelato is good. And, of course, they also carry Academia beer on tap, at least on the east side, which is where I live. So, I do have lunch there with some frequency. I usually swing by there right after I basically rubber stamp the stories my guys write and pretend that I actually did some editing. And
looks good.
Ooh, that was a rough day. And
I've earned it.
I throw a little flour on myself, like I'm like baking hard, and I go down there and have beer and a fantastic pizza. Well, sometimes a sandwich. So swing by Your Pie, and thanks to Drew and Natalie French for being such good sponsors of the show. Also, big shout out to 365 Game Day. Again, if you need your gear, if you've got Mother's Day is coming up, Father's Day will be right after that. If you want to get them something Georgia related.
How about these two people just took them out in trays? You like those kind of walkouts? Something to go, man. Somebody's having a good lunch.
We got people coming into Champions buying chicken by the tray.
I mean, they need an arm guard.
We need
to
close this up because I need to go out there and talk to those folks. And get some free chicken.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go work somebody over.
That
tray.
All right, that's all the time we're going to have for this week's show. We want to thank everybody for joining us on Wednesday. We will be back next Tuesday to answer all of your questions and to basically make fun of Jake. That's what we do.
As usual.
Thank you guys for watching.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.